Today, we're actually going to brew a batch of beer.
Hi guys, and welcome to the Irish Beer Snob podcast. I am Mrs. Beer Snob, Janice, and beside me, to my left actually, is Wayne, Mr. Beer Snob.
This all feels a little unusual.
And it feels really weird.
The feng shui of podcasts.
Oh God, how will it go?
We'll have to wait and see.
This feels very, very strange, you having you on my left instead of on my right-hand side. I must admit.
Well, deal with it.
Anyway, this episode is all about Stone. Two cans of Stone beers in front of us here.
Yeah, so we are lucky to have got Stone IPA and Arrogant Bastard Ale fresh from Stone Berlin. Came into the country this week. Four Corners distributing them, who also distribute Brewdog, Beaver Town, a few of the other breweries.
So cheers to the guys in Bag Street Wines as well for keeping us the cans.
Yeah, they made sure to keep some by. Like I'd imagine that it is flying out off the shelves wherever it is being stocked at the moment. So I'm really looking forward to tasting Stone IPA. I've not actually tasted the Stone IPA, I think, since Equity Punk AGM a couple of years ago when Stone were there, but we'll get to see how it holds up, and obviously it's super fresh, and we've obviously got a few bits of news and other bits to talk about, but the main focus of today's episode is about Stone Berlin and brewing and a little bit about Stone for those that don't know anything about them.
I'm cracking this open.
Without further ado.
Jesus, smells straight from the can.
Yeah, it's pungent. It's just aroma flying through the air. But I suppose I put out a tweet just before. Like, obviously, everyone today would have been watching the Ireland match. And come on, you boys in green did really well against a very, very good French side today. But I did put out a tweet earlier on asking for people how important is freshness for them. Now, obviously, a lot of people came back with, you know, it depends on the style. But one or two people, like Alex Biermack, were saying that he's actually started drinking his bigger beers sooner rather than aging them all.
Any reason for that?
He just said it's just what he seems to be doing at the moment.
Okay.
So this can of Stone IPA was canned on the 13th of June.
Jesus.
Today is the
26th.
I picked that up in Bagot Street Wines on Thursday, so this is the 23rd.
Yeah.
So, super fresh.
Yeah. Well, I went and poured mine like a Timmy.
Yeah, rookie pour. Yeah, so, like, obviously, that's poured away. So, what will you do? Near the news, or do you want to have a taste, or what do you want to do?
We'd have to taste the fucking thing, but sure, I've more head than I have beer.
Oh, dearie me. I have a feeling it might be a little bit cold. Like, obviously, they've been in the fridge. Again, canning, we're seeing more and more breweries going into the canning line, particularly for anything that would be of the hoppy variety. This is a 6.9% IPA.
Well, I love the cans because they fit nice and neatly into my fridge.
Okay. They're also great for sneaking on a bus.
Yes, we are very big, very big fans of the old bus beers.
The old bus beer. Now, from looking at Stone's website earlier, the main hops in Stone IPA are Magnum, Chinook and Centennial. So there's obviously a lot of American hops there, but like not as huge like you'd expect. Everyone's going after the new American hops like Citra, Simcoe. So this is a beer that's been around since 1997. So it's regarded in the same light as Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Torpedo, those kind of hoppy beers that really kind of kick-started a bit of a revolution in the States as well.
All right, well, cheers. Let's get into it.
Do you need a straw?
I think, well, I'll fight my way through the head.
Well, there's a lot of flavour in the foam as well. Oh, that's bitter. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
The aroma, familiar citrus.
I now have foam up my nose.
Can you smell anything except foam? Well, you're probably getting the best aroma there.
It's a unique experience anyway.
So you poured it like a Timmy.
And drank it like an Egypt.
Oh my God.
Oh sure, it's only, what did we discover? It's 6.9% as well, and we haven't even had dinner yet.
That was because we're professionals.
Anyway, taste-wise, Wayne?
I'm really enjoying that. It's upfront bitterness. The aroma's really red, piney, citrus, lime, grapefruit zest there for me.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like, and for $3.50 a can.
That's not a bad price.
6.9% raises a couple of interesting questions, which we'll cover as we go along. But yeah, bloody hell, that is good.
That's really nice.
Like that's almost akin to drinking straight out of the tank somewhere, because that's so fresh.
Well, my first experience of any Stone beers were actually came from our friend Ian.
Yeah.
11 p.m. somewhere. He was the one who actually introduced me to the Stone beers, and I think it was a bottle share that we did here between the three of us one night, wasn't it? He brought over loads of different beers for us to try.
Yeah.
He even gave us a present of a Stone beer as well.
Yeah, he was in San Diego and he brought us back a 17th anniversary IPA.
Yeah.
I know, or was it 18th anniversary maybe, because the Australian one was the one we got off the BrewDog bottle shop. But we've had some of the the limited edition beers, like Enjoy By as well.
Yeah.
That have come out of Stone, but we've not actually, like, it's first time any of the core beers, I suppose. Like, obviously BrewDog's bottle shop gets them quite often online.
Yeah.
But the fact that Stone Berlin now is literally, you know, the beer is coming very quickly once it's produced.
The fact that we can have that this quickly from Berlin to Dublin, I think it's brilliant. So well done Four Corners on that.
Yeah, I think freshness for hoppy style beers is paramount. Obviously, for some styles, you kind of don't mind letting it age, but a lot of it would come down to personal preference. I know if I was in a store and I saw cans of Stone IPA and 2 weeks old versus maybe a 5 or 6 month old can of Gamma Ray, I would probably go Stone IPA because I know it's fresher.
So that's bringing you back to your tweet about how important is freshness in a beer for you.
Yeah, for hoppy and hoppy pale ales, red ale, red IPAs, those kind of things, for me, fresher is better. But I suppose from a brewery's point of view, and Alex pointed this out, is, you know, they'd prefer people drink them fresh because there's less variables as to what could go wrong.
That could be an interesting experiment.
It could be. Like, obviously, it's packaged in cans, so it's been well documented at this stage, IPAs and hoppy beers do really well in cans because light can't get in, oxygen can't get in. It is like the perfect vessel for a hoppy beer.
I don't know about you though, because for me, there's a bit of it's like a ceremony opening up a can. I love it. It's like when you pop that open and it sprays in your face and then the smell whacks you.
Yeah,
like, I love that experience in a can.
You don't get that with a bottle, no.
Like you hear the tss with the cap, but it's not as fun as the can.
No, and I think it's a lot of beer is about the experience, and you know it is the aroma instantly. Like as soon as we opened these cans, you got the aroma straight away. Whereas with a bottle, you're kind of sticking your nose over the opening and then pouring it to see what's going on. So obviously, you know, really, really happy with this. Like, obviously, I think I might have left it in the fridge too long and not taken it out quickly.
I quite like it this cold, I think.
I really am enjoying that.
I know that we have the two...
6.9% doesn't taste it, does
the
it?
The two beers that we have, the two cans that we have here. There will be more beers added to this range, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So Stone Berlin are brewing this and Arrogant Bastard at the moment, and they will be, in the coming weeks, go to IPA. Which is a session IPA, a Cali Belgique IPA, which is IPA made with Belgian yeast, kind of thing, Monkhammer, and Ruination 2.0. Why 2.0? For those that know, Ruination is a double IPA that's been around quite a while, and a couple of years ago, Stone redid the recipe to reflect the improvement in modern brewing techniques. So when they started 20 years ago, and started making beers like Ruination, they would have had to do things in a certain way, but now they've got like ultra modern brewery equipment in both in the San Diego brewery, in the one in Richmond, Virginia, and also in Stone, Berlin, that they're able to achieve things that they wouldn't have been possible before. So it's great to see that they're not afraid to go back and improve a recipe as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still ruination, but they've gone back and changed it, and they're obviously very happy with it. So look forward to getting that.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to trying them when we get them. So a few couple of bits of news then for us, Bib.
Yeah. ABV Fest, those who were there last year.
Cracking event.
In the Titanic Quarter.
Brilliant festival.
They've announced their venue, the Carlisle Memorial Church, and it takes place from the 1st to the 3rd of September up in Belfast.
Praying we can make it.
It's a great event, like even if we only go up on the Saturday and come back Saturday evening like we did the last time, but it's where they get the best of the Northern Ireland beer scene, kind of gets the best of both, the best of the English, Scottish, yeah. Welsh craft beer, as well as the best of the Irish craft beer that are going up there. So it's a really good experience. I remember we were drinking Beavertown Nespresso, a few other mental things last year.
The one standout for me, though, last year, I loved, it's when I tried Partisan.
Oh, yeah. The raspberry.
So good.
Was that a raspberry Baluna?
Yeah, it was really, really good.
That was really, really good. And I actually remember seeing that photo recently, looking back through some of the photos on the cloud. I was like, bloody hell, that looks even great now. Obviously, White Hag. Joe has put up a video on YouTube explaining canning, and they've got the cans of Little Fawn ready to go, so that'll be canned soon. So that's a great little session IPA, and really looking forward to it. I wonder, will they can Pucker?
Who knows?
Because didn't we have Westbrook Goza before out of a can? And that was really good.
We did, yeah.
Like, I really like can packaging because it's easier, it's lighter, it's recycled, you know, it's less energy recycled, so on. But we'll have a link to the show in the show notes to Joe's little video, his explanation.
And I do believe the cans have arrived as well. Their first shipment of cans have arrived.
Excellent. So we'll keep our eyes out for that. And it's really be really interesting to see for people. Joe would have perhaps been not pro can. But he has actually come around to the way of thinking for certain styles of his beer that it's the packaging method that they are going with. And obviously, it's great again to see another Irish brewery canning beers, because obviously there's not a huge amount of them in cans at the moment. The last bit of news, it's probably a little bit of a meaty topic, but Brexit and the vote, and how's that going to impact on beer? And it's probably something that we'll bring into a future episode in a bit more detail, because there's going to be massive changes for everyone in Europe over the vote there. But, like, how will it affect us? Obviously, sterling falling in value is great, but will that mean that there'll be tariffs for products coming from England? Obviously, it's all way too early to really speculate what the issues may be. But it's important to know that there could be issues both ways, both for us exporting to the UK and also for, you know, UK breweries exporting into Ireland. And
definitely a topic for another show, I think.
It's a bit boring anyway. So, I'm really enjoying this idea.
Yeah. I've, like, literally half a glass left.
It's got real bitterness, but there's a slight dryness in the finish.
Doesn't drink like 6.9%.
It's really well balanced.
It's far too easy to drink.
But you can tell that it's so fresh.
I love the colour of it. And the fact that I can actually see you through the glass.
And none of Stone's beers are pasteurised. So this is maybe it might be a centrifugal play there, but that is crystal clear. It's a lovely appealing colour as well. You know, visual, you know, like, what's the saying, you eat with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at that going, I really regret only buying two cans. I'll have to buy more.
We say this all the time.
Yeah, but I'm always afraid. I'm afraid.
But then
to commit.
See, we don't have enough room to store all the beers either.
Yeah, that's also very true. So, like, I know if I came home with 12 cans, he'd probably kick me in the shins anyway. But so obviously Stone, for those that don't know, are 20 years old this year. So they began life in 1996, founded by Greg Koch and Steve Wagner in San Diego. So they have. Their main brewery operation is there with the San Diego World Gardens, similar to what they're hoping to do in Berlin with the restaurant. The facility they have in Berlin is in a building that's 100 plus years old. And
yeah, you know, they've renovated an old gasworks
and we do look forward to going over to have a look. It's been Berlin, I believe, is a booming craft beer environment.
Well, I've never been to Germany, and it's somewhere that I've always wanted to go to from when I learned German in school.
So it's your turn to manage Pigeon German like I had to manage Pigeon French.
Oh, good grief. No, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen.
Hopefully they speak English. But, so, like, look forward to that. They're obviously an inspirational brewery for a number of brewers in Europe. BrewDog would have heavily taken a lot of influence from the way Stone market themselves, you know, like calling a beer arrogant bastard and having a tagline on it going, you're not worthy. You know, arrogance is a great thing. It also belies a real confidence in the product you're making.
Mm-hmm.
As which is common now in the States, West Coast breweries are beginning to open up East Coast facilities. So like they can service the Eastern Seaboard as well as maybe servicing European markets. But like Stone have gone one further. They've actually gone and opened a brewery in Berlin. So mm-hmm. That's obviously going to be really interesting to see how, you know, people compete or deal with that. Because I was having a conversation with someone last night, and it was about, you know, the craft beer consumer is evolving all the time. And they're looking for quality.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like, and what he noticed himself, it was Paul in Four Corners. He was saying that he noticed last year maybe there was a slight slowdown in the growth of sales of BrewDog, but this year people have just gone back to BrewDog and they've been buying it big guns. And I suppose Elvis juice and things like that have really helped keep things going. But we know from personal experience, we've had some products that the quality hasn't necessarily been 100%.
Yeah, there have been a few.
And, you know, like that's to be expected. However, you'd have to think that people who put a product out for public consumption would have very strict quality control, as in there'd be testing of the product once it's come back from packaging and those kind of things. And, you know, this is the difference between having a great brewery and just having a brewery.
But also, even I noticed, I think it was last week or the week before, that there was another tweet out there about should breweries put out a beer if they're not 100% with it. And I think it was Steve from
Beer
Clock
Show
who did it as one of their hot topics. I know my response to that one was definitely not. Like, why would a brewer put out a beer if it wasn't 100% and they weren't 100% happy with that?
Well, I suppose brewers are under all sorts of pressure to get the product out, whether it's from their wholesale customers going, we need that beer like by tomorrow, and maybe things have been rushed. I don't think there are examples of where a beer has got out. I think Wild Beer Co. had a beer and they actually tweeted out saying, there is a problem with this beer. If it's drank now, it's a problem. But if you actually cellar it and mature it for a year or two, it'll actually blend itself out, because there was obviously they do a lot of wild fermentation, but there was a problem with the fermentation, and that manifested itself in bottles. I think Reuben Gray and Taylor Vale actually had a bottle of that particular beer recently.
Right.
And he was like, going, bloody, is this meant to taste like this? It was a real crazy concept. But he then tweeted later on to say that he'd actually found it on Wild Beer Co.'s website themselves, that they put up a post to say, I personally think as a consumer, like if I take away my beer snob hat,
mm-hmm.
if I'm a consumer who is dabbling in craft beer, and I pick up maybe four bottles and an off license, mm-hmm. and one is really good, one is okay, like it might be the beer, it might not be to 100% style or whatever, and you have one or two beers in there that look like they've been rushed out, I know myself, I've instantly judged that brewery and I'm gone, grand, I'm not going to have something from them again because I had this.
It's disappointing though for us as a consumer that a beer is rushed like that, and then, you know, we're the ones drinking it at the end of the day.
Yeah. The problem is, it's like anything, you get one chance to make a first impression. Like, we'd obviously be quite selective in the beers we drink, generally.
Yeah.
But, like, if you get someone, as I said, the kind of outlier that is dabbing in and saying, well, look, I'm going to try this beer because, you know, it's new and it's different, and then they try it and it's like, it gives someone a really bad impression. But quality, I don't think we're all looking for consistency, because we understand that each year's hop harvest is going to be different. But then again, we're more informed. But your average entry consumer may not be. I suppose it's being able to communicate that kind of thing. And, you know, we were talking to Paul about Elvis Juice and when's that coming back in, and he was confirming that, you know, they weren't 100% happy with it and they're brewing it again. So again, that kind of ability to go, grand, we're not happy with it, it's not going to reach consumers.
But then you see, I think for something like that to happen, I think it's actually a good idea, because I would rather wait for the beer to be 100% and drinkable, so therefore I'll be able to enjoy it, instead of feeling really disappointed by a beer that's not 100%.
Yeah, and, you know, we could talk all day about that, in fairness, because it's one of them big bugbears of mine, personally.
Right, well, ladies and gentlemen, my glass is empty, Wayne's isn't, so on to the next beer, please.
Arrogant Bastard. What a name, I love it. I absolutely love the name. So this is a bigger can, this is...
I feel like it was made with you in mind, for the name.
It's not very nice. Well, this is described as an American strong ale.
Oh God, that's a lovely colour.
So it's quite dark in colour compared to...
Now this looks right up my street.
Compared to the...
lovely IPA head on that.
But that's... I'm just going to read some of the side of the can. This is an aggressive beer. You probably won't like it. It's quite doubtful that you have the taste or sophistication to be able to appreciate an ale of this quality and depth. I like that. It all fits into the "you're not worthy" byline on the side of the can. So, like, this is actually a 500ml can of 7.2% American strong ale.
And we have actually split it between the two of us.
Yeah, no, we're not drinking one each. But yeah, it's... I'm just going to finish my IPA, but you can talk about what you're smelling there.
Yeah, sorry. it's lovely, actually. There's a lovely aroma from it.
From talking to Ian, actually, 11 p.m. somewhere, he put a really good photo of it on Instagram recently.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that this is all Chinook. That it's like massively Chinook beer. But I remain to be stand corrected.
Well, I'm going in.
Go in. Dive in, both feet. Are you worthy to drink that beer?
Ooh. There's a nice little bitter aftertaste of that.
Yeah, well, there's no information on IBU content, so I'd imagine it's quite bitter.
Mmm. What?
We would suggest that you stick to safer and more familiar territory. Maybe something with a multi-million dollar ad campaign aimed at convincing you it's made in a little brewery, or one that implies that their taste is fizzy yellow beer will give you more sex appeal. Yay! Perhaps you think the multi-million dollar ad campaigns make a beer taste better. Perhaps you're mouthing your words as you read this.
There is a very dry finish to it.
Liquid arrogance. Well, I finished my IPA now. I love the packaging. I love the gargoyle, like the stone gargoyle. It's not a devil, it's a gargoyle.
Right, go on, get into it, you.
Well, we never cheersed.
Well, you're too slow.
Sorry.
Come on, Mike.
I could have said something rude there, but I won't. Well, there's a very big malt bone in there, carry all that flavour. I suppose sometimes I have a bit of a problem with legacy beers like this. Arrogant Bastard has been around nearly 20 years. Is it as shocking now as it would have been 20 years ago? Because I can imagine Sierra Nevada, the Stone IPA, when they were out originally and people would have been used to drinking Bud Light or whatever, that would have just absolutely blown their socks off. This is a very well-made beer, but is it the slapping with a fish to wake you up?
Well,
probably not now.
I don't get that experience with it. As you said, it's a really well-made beer.
Like, if you respect its heritage, like, if you think about its heritage, it is 19, 20 years old now.
Yeah, no, I get that. Out of the two, though, I definitely prefer the IPA. Like, this is lovely, but I prefer the IPA.
Like... The colour is so appealing, and the head is just really, really luscious and thick. And there's just that really nice aroma there, the slight burnt caramel, kind of caramelly, biscuity aroma.
I don't know, I was expecting a little bit more from it. I was expecting to be hit in the face with it, as you just said. Like, it's nice.
I like it. I do like it. I've had it before. I know we've got a bourbon barrel-aged version of that in the press somewhere.
Yeah.
I suppose, that, as I said, it's my issue sometimes with beers that are regarded for years. I suppose there are some beers that go around in folklore. Arrogant Bastard is clearly one of those. But like things like Ballast Point IPA, I remember having that and thinking, this is really good. Mm. And then tried the Grapefruit IPA and I was like, this is even better. But if you kind of had a time machine and were able to go back to 20 years ago in a landscape of industrial lager and everything, this would have been like a beacon of light, like a lighthouse. It's still exceptionally well made. It's very clear. There's no haze from what I can see. It's a lovely colour. Like, if you hold that up to the light, it's absolutely it's like glorious.
It's a lovely ruby colour.
But it's a nice, strong ale. You know, it's not overly bitter.
No, I don't find it's not. I don't find it that overly bitter either.
There's a slight sweetness from the malts. But I really enjoyed that.
It is enjoyable.
But I can't wait to get Ruination too.
I think I'd prefer this, though, if it was a little bit warmer. For me, personally, it's too cold. And I think when a beer like this is too cold, it just, the flavours aren't there. I think the once that warms up, I think it'd be beautiful.
Hmm.
And maybe
coming back to our
perhaps that's why I'm not getting as much out of this can as you are, because this type of a drink, I do prefer slightly warmer.
Hmm.
Now, I love my IPAs cold, but
okay,
this one I would prefer warmer.
Well, we can experiment with that. We have a second can, so we can see how it works when it gets up to like cool but not cold.
Mm. I'd rather this at room temperature. Now, I know we have taken it out of the fridge before we drank it and stuff, and it's been out of the fridge for about a half an hour. I still would prefer it a little bit warmer, I think.
Yeah, but it's again a sign of the beers that we're getting in this country from imported beers. Like, it comes from the fact that the local breweries themselves are not producing beers like this. I would struggle to find, like, obviously there's what, 100, nearly 100 breweries now in Ireland. I would struggle to find a brewery that has a similar kind of strong ale to that. There might be one or two out there, but the vast majority are going with the Holy Trinity. And it's like, why? Unless you're bringing me the best in the world of that style, don't bother. And I don't say that to be dismissive. In a market where everyone's the same, you might as well just be a macro producer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what distinguishes you apart from your location and the fact that you're operating off a Dave Porter kit? That's not enough of a distinction for me. You have to be making something that grabs my taste buds and goes, this is why you should be drinking a locally made beer. Like, there are loads of examples of really well-made beer in this country.
Yeah.
But I don't think most breweries need to fall back on that reliance of, you know, the Holy Trinity being a crutch and going, oh, yeah, we need a stout, a pale ale, a red ale. Like, fair enough, if you're going to do those things, make it different, make it yours. Like Rascals, Ginger Porter, Brew Rewer, Cascade Red Ale, when it was originally launched, it's more of an amber, clearly. But my point is, if you are going to do something in the traditional,
in my opinion, there's only a handful of really good Irish red ales out there.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see some interesting developments over the next 12 to 18 months in the beer scene here. But again, for $3.50 for a can, like,
was the Arrogant Bastard $3.50?
No,
as well?
The Arrogant Bastard was about a fiver, but it's also a bigger can. Mm-hmm. It's like 500 mils of 7.2. I think it was $4.95 in Backstreet Wines, but that's not terrible.
Yeah, that's still not bad.
In the sense of, like, you know, there are some strong beers at 500 mil size and glass bottles be about the same, but it comes back to me that a lot of the gaps are being filled by imported beers that the different distributors in this country are able to get their hands on, in terms of bringing in things to slot in. And you know, there is a handful of breweries that are doing really new and exciting things, like Dot Brew You know, they've obviously Session Rye Ale, great first beer.
I need to get that sour.
Yeah, the apricot sour.
I need to get it.
Again, small brewery.
Was that in Bagot Street Wines, actually? You should have asked you.
I didn't even see it, to be honest. But we'll pick some up in Drink Store or something. But it's good to see there is some innovation there as well, because there are... Like
for a new brewery as well, Dot Brew are actually doing quite well, because they are coming out with some really, really nice, interesting beers.
Yeah.
Like their new sour. You have another beer from them, though, as well, that you gifted.
Yeah, my colleagues at work bought me a mixed sampler of beers and included the Imperial Stout, so I'll keep that by for later in the year. But, I think packaging-wise, they're on the money. The label design is really clean and clever. Looks good. It's appealing. It draws your eye straight away. That's actually warming up a little bit now.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bit more.
Can't you get more flavour out of that? I'm getting a lot more of a caramel flavour to that. It's a little bit more malty as well.
Yeah. It's like tasting beer as it's warming really opens it up. I think Stone IPA would drink straight out of the fridge. It'd be a guzzler.
Yeah. Well, sure, I guzzled the thing.
Yeah, exactly. You inhaled it. Arrogant Bastard probably needs... Arrogant Bastard, I realise it sounded really Leeds there. Probably needs a little bit more coming up to warmth, getting closer to the, you know, hell and brimstone and fire.
We actually had, wasn't there a bottle called Double Bastard?
I think we have a bottle of Double Bastard that we drank, that Ian brought us back from San Diego.
We had that in the bottle chair with Ian, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that's what we had that night. But like, the packaging, the label and everything design-wise is stands out a mile. The product itself is really good. You can also expect that in the coming weeks, these are going to be available on cask, on keg, around the country.
So oh, really?
Keep your eyes peeled there. I'm sure Four Corners will be tweeting that as it's going. But I do know that there's a lot of bars that are taking the IPA in particular, because I suppose everyone loves IPAs at the moment. But we'll all wait and see. Like, obviously, there's more beers coming from Berlin in the shortness of in a few weeks, and Berlin will be doing their own specials as well. So, like, obviously San Diego does nearly all the special beers for Stone US at the moment, but Stone Berlin will be taking up the mantle for Europe and doing some special stuff there as well. So, like, and you know we're going to see some of the big stouts and everything come winter time and everything.
Yeah, I'll be
like
looking,
that. So
looking forward to that. But at the moment I actually am enjoying the IPAs that are coming out recently, and sour beers and IPAs, that's what I'm all about at the minute.
Yeah, like, what recent beers have you had that you like? I know we were at the Brewdog Tap Takeover and Against the Grain last night.
Yeah, I did like the Blackberry Blitz. Now that I had initially on tasting it, I thought it was, you know, it was really, really good. It was a taste bud tickler, but coming towards the end of the glass as it warmed up, I found it a struggle.
It was a bit hard to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably didn't help me that I had heartburn last night and started with Blackberry Blitz. I think the Blackberry needed to drop out because it was kind of odd. It was in a bit of suspension.
I've had a couple of their other Blitzes as well, but I just, personally for me, I don't think that was one of their best. They had a Red Currant one, I think, that I tried before.
Yeah.
That was stunning.
Did we have a Blitz at the AGM this year? I can't remember if
we did.
I
don't think so. Not sure.
I think maybe I did. I'm not sure. Blackhammer.
What did you think?
It was nice, but I was expecting Jackhammer level of aggression from it, and yeah, I didn't get
that. Didn't get that. Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed by that.
But no, it's great to meet Kerry from Brewdog as well, even though we met her at the AGM previously.
No recollection of that.
But she was over doing a few bits with Four Corners as well, so it was good to catch up and hang out and everything.
You
like
also
that.
Had the Ace of Chinook.
Yeah, really, really nice. Sessionable pale ale, 4.5%. Really good. Preferred Ace of Simcoe. But that comes down to your hop preferences.
Yeah.
You know, it's like single hop beers can be quite difficult.
I liked the Proto Red Ale. It was like...
That was nice,
It was like 5 AM Saint's Little Sister. It was so cute. It was really, really
light. But 5 AM Saint is a hoppy red.
Yeah, but this was really, really light. 5 AM Saint is a little bit heavier, right. A lot more malty, whereas the Prototype Red was a lot lighter and really easy to drink, and there was a lovely sweetness to it.
Yeah. And I must say, like, obviously one of the highlights of the night, anyone who was following us on Twitter would have seen me put up a photo, but Simon Boyle, Brought along a bottle of Death and Glory.
Yeah, legend.
So for those that don't know, Death and Glory is a Belgian golden ale that has been ice distilled and aged for 4 years in three different casks and comes in at a whopping 26.1%. So,
and wasn't 24.1%.
It was above 20%, that's all that matters. But at the same time, it was so bonkers that it shouldn't have worked.
Put those claws away.
Sorry, I'm just sharpening them now. I'm just getting into it. But thanks very much, Simon, for taking a beer like
that.
Well, sure,
if it wasn't for Simon, we would never have tasted it anyway.
No, that's true. So, again, another bonkers beer from BrewDog. It was really, really good. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to the mash tags coming out and the next Paradox Islay.
But I'm really enjoying the new beers that are coming out in Ireland at the minute as well, especially from 8 Degrees. 8 Degrees are pumping out some really, really good IPAs at the minute. We've got two of the new ones as well. It's Summer Days. We've that to try.
Yeah.
And what was the other one you picked up?
The Mandarina Bavaria.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to those.
Yeah, this is Betray. I love Citra. And I thought the IPA Citra was absolutely stonkingly good, like ridiculously good. And I don't know if canning is in 8 Degrees future because they already package in 330ml bottles anyway.
Yeah. Ooh, but cans of 8 Degrees. Could you imagine?
Scott and Cam, make it happen.
Oh my God, but yeah.
That IPA Citra, like the guys are IPA fiends. I don't know how many different IPAs they've brewed.
But that as well, though. Really, but good. Going back to the topic of the red ales, I revisited their Sunburned Red.
Well, where was that?
That was in that was one of the first red ales I ever tried when we got into craft beer, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
But then because with all the other beers that you try and everything like that, it's easily 2 years since I've had a Sunburned Red. And we were out on our night out in Smith's in Navan, and I saw a bottle there and I was like, do you know what? Let's try it. And then I was blown away. It's just so good.
Yeah, and I think that highlights the importance of having an exceptionally solid core range.
Yeah, because that, between Sunburnt Red and their
the Howling Gale,
I love those two. And yeah, I think we should stock up and keep them in the fridge.
Yeah.
Well, and red ale, as far as red ales go, the other red ale that I really, really love is Killarney Red from Breton. That's probably my favourite Irish red ale.
Yeah, like, I think for every beer consumer, it's important to have a go-to beer that you know.
But that's my problem. I have far too many go-to beers.
Well, I suppose do it by season then. Like, you don't particularly want to be drinking a red ale on a tropical 19 degrees day.
No, no.
In Meath.
No, I do. I love red ale.
Okay. Well, that would be one for the listeners out there. What is your go-to beer and why? You know, like, it's one of those things that, you know, I think we all have a number of beers that we know we can fall back on if you kind of that fatigue of trying to pick something new.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to actually lean back and go, well, you know what? I want to go and have a few like, I know Steve instantly is going to say Cannonball.
Oh my God, and I found a can of that in the fridge. Hello, that's my next beer.
How did that get beyond my scope?
How
did I not, like, snaffle that before?
Where did it even come from?
I'm pretty sure I picked it up in drink store. Because we can get cans of Cannonball over here now, which is great.
Yeah.
Again, it's just, you know,
that's another brewery that I really like from England as well. It's Magic Rock.
Mm. So, all in all, I am very impressed with Stone IPA. Really, it lives up to its billing as like a reference quality IPA. And it's like, I think even on Rate Beer, it's rated at 100 or something, which is, you know, for a beer that's 20 years old, that's insane.
I didn't even realize they were 20 years old.
Yeah, 96.
That's incredible. Be going that
long. So you're a little bit younger than me. The Arrogant Bastard, I must say, as it's warming up, is actually, there's a lot more complexity to the flavour. It's not just a sledgehammer. There is a lot going on there. There's the caramel, the malt, the bitterness as well is good.
Is it really bad that I'm actually sitting here thinking of the pecan nuts that we bought on the shop today and caramelising them in this?
No, but we don't have brie to put them in, or a camembert.
Would it not go with blue cheese?
It might. Contrast of sweet and sour, sweet and savoury and salty. So that's your homework for this afternoon.
Light bulb moment.
As always, guys, thanks very much for listening to us rabbit on today. If you have any feedback, comments, get in touch. Twitter at Irish Beer Snob.
At Mrs. Beer Snob.
Instagram at Irish Beer Snob. Mrs. Untapped, the same.
Well, for you, Instagram, yeah. Mrs. _ Beer Snob. I still have to check out my Untapped because it's either DunJM or it's Mrs. Beer Snob.
Yeah. And obviously, you can hit us up on irishbeersnob.com.
We're on Facebook.
You can find our details there for emails or whatever. But yeah, thanks for listening. I would recommend strongly anyone who likes IPA, get out there and get some of that Stone IPA.
Oh, get it into you.
You won't regret it.
What is the Irish saying? Get it into you, Cynthia.
And on that note, cheers.
Cheers.
The Irish Craft Beer subreddit is the best way to keep pace with all the latest news, views, reviews and interviews relating to the Irish craft beer scene. Check out the subreddit at www.reddit.com/r/IrishCraftBeer and join the revolution.